Chevra, we're talking about Makif and Nikif. So let's just review the situation. So the Mishnah talks about over here, if you have a person who owns four fields that surround a person who has a field in the middle. He builds a fence around his the internal property on three sides. So we don't make the middle guy pay. But if he gets up and he builds a fence on the fourth side, then we make the inside guy pay for everything. And there was a huge discussion in the Gemara about two points. The first is pay everything how much, meaning the final bill, or a minimal fence. This guy built it out of marble or Jerusalem stone. Do I have to pay him back for the Jerusalem stone, or can I pay him for the cheapest Home Depot version? And then that's one discussion. And then the other discussion is, who and when is, or when is the middle guy obligated to pay? So let's just chaz the Gemara, and then we'll get to the, just why it is that he's obligated to pay in the first place. So Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel Alach Rabbi Yosi be passing Rabbi Yosi the Amar Mama Begad the Sarvi is Megaglon of Asako. That if the guy builds the fourth side, we make the middle guy pay. Lo Shnam and Nikov Lo Shnam and Makif. It doesn't matter if the person building the wall on the fourth side is the inner guy or the wall building the first side is the outer guy. Either way, the inner guy has to pay once there's a wall on four sides because he benefits. Itmar of Huna Amar. He has to pay based on what he spent on the wall. Chibarav says, no, he pays the cheapest version. If this guy brought Jerusalem stone, I don't have to pay Jerusalem stone. Or that bill, I can pay the cheapest version. So the Tanakhama seems to say the same as Rabbi Yossi, because Tanakhama said the only time the middle guy doesn't have to pay is if the outer guy, right, there's one guy, like what do we say, Shimon and who's enveloped within, no, Shimon is enveloped within Yehuda. So if Yehuda, builds a wall between himself and Shimon, so then on three sides, Shimon doesn't have to pay. That implies if Yehuda would build the wall on the fourth side, Shimon would have to pay. So that's the Tanakhama seems to be saying the same as Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi said, if he builds a wall on the fourth side, now he has to pay. The Tanakhama already implied that way, because the Tanakhama said, and only if there's a wall on three sides that I have to pay, that implies if there's a wall on the fourth side, he would have to pay. So Itmar, I'm sorry. Harevius mechayven oisai. Aim a seifa. Rabbi Yosi Yomer, Mamet begodes Harevius, megagun of asako. If he builds the wall on the fourth side, then he has to pay. So Bish Lama Rav Huna. The Gemara first starts from a different angle in that dispute. What are they arguing about? Tanakam and Rabbi Yosi. So Bish Lama Rav Huna, the Amar Kofi Masha Godar. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rav Huna, within Rabbi Yosi, that he has to pay the final bill. Hainu de Igabe and Tanakam and Rabbi Yosi. They both say that the inner guy has to pay if there's a wall on the fourth side. The question is how much? Tanakama savar kofi de mekana bezoil. The Tanakama holds he has to pay the Home Depot version. Masha godar loy, what he paid, the Jerusalem stone not. Rabbi Yosi savar kofi masha godar. He has to pay, the final bill. The middle guy now has to split it with him. But according to Chibarab, that holds even Rabbi Yosi said, I'll call it the mekana bezoil. All he has to pay is the cheaper Home Depot version. Ma'ikim and Tanakama Rabbi Yosi, what are they arguing about? Eat the mekana bezoil, go kayhevle. If the Tanakama holds he's not even paying the mekana bezoil, the cheap Home Depot version, ma'ikayhevle. What's he giving him that the Tanakhama said it's only if there's a wall on three sides he doesn't have to pay. If there's a wall on the four sides, he would have to pay. Iba is Ema, so I'll tell you. Agar Natira, Ikmenayu. That according to the Tanakhama, he at least has to pay the cheaper version, which is a watchman, which we just made the interesting social observation. It sounds like from here, labor was cheaper than materials, which obviously the opposite is true today. So Iba is Ema, Agar Natira, Ika. He'd pay for a watchman. Ika Benayu, Tanakhama Sava, Agar Natira in the Mekanam Bezolo. Rabbi Yosef Sava, the Mekanam Bezolo. According to the Tanakhama, he has to pay for a watchman. According to Rabbi Yosef, he has to pay for the cheaper materials. Or I'll tell you, this is what they're arguing about. What about the first three walls? That's what they're arguing about. Tanakama Sava Revius Hudia Hevle, Ava Rishana Shneev Ishlishis Loya Hevle, Rabbi Yosi Sava Rishana Shneev Ishlishis Nami Hevle. So they're arguing about the first three walls. According to the Tanakama, he always has to pay him for the fourth wall. According to Rabbi Yosi, he has to pay him for all four. And we'll get back to that machlekes if we have time today. It's an important, important machlekes between Rashi and Tosfos, how to understand why the first three walls would not be included according to the Tanakama. So the Tanakama Saba, then the Gemara gives another Ibaisem. Ibaisem, Makif and Nikaf, Ika Benayu, and this is how we concluded. Tanakama Saba, time of the Amma Nikaf. The question is, who's building the fourth wall? According to the Tanakama, it's only if the Nikaf, the middle guy, builds the fourth wall, Magavan of Azakov, then it's obvious he's happy about the whole thing. About Amma Makif, if the Makif gets up and builds the fourth wall, I don't know, so now the May Revius, then he only has to pay for the fourth side. Rabbi Yosi Savar, Loshna, Nikaf, Loshna, Makif, Amma Vagadha, Magavan of Azakov. It doesn't matter who builds the fourth side, once he builds the fourth side, he has to pay for all four walls. Lishna Achrina, the Lishna Achrina makes so much more sense in the language, as we mentioned last time. Makav and Nikav, Igav and Ayo. What they're arguing about is who built the fourth wall? Tanakama, but just the opposite direction. Tanakama, Savarim, Gadar, Makav as Ravias. If the outer guy builds the fourth side, Nami Hevlei, the middle guy has to pay. Rabbi Yossi Savar, only Imam and Nikav. And that makes so much sense because we pass on Rabbi Yossi. If the middle guy builds the fourth wall, like we gave the example last time, which happens to be reality for many people, one neighbor on one side has a fence, one neighbor on the other side has a fence, the guy behind them has a fence, they ki'ilu have four sides of a fence, except the front side where they're missing, and they build the fourth side. So now the neighbor, send them a bill. You're happy about my fence that I built for you. The haraya is, you just built a fence on the fourth side, now I'm going to give you a bill for the whole thing. So that's exactly where Rabbi says, I'm a nikav, a gadol servius, who do you have? Then he has to pay for all four. The goli died to the nechle. He shows he's happy about the wall. I'm a gadol makif, the neighbor in front of him will build a fence. And then I never showed I was happy about it. Lo yehevle midi. And of course, we're talking about in a place where they're not obligated to build a wall. It wasn't the customary practice in the place. If it was, of course, they are obligated to build a wall. But Chevra, what happened over here? What's the obligation for me to pay for a wall that you built? Just because I'm happy about it. What kind of obligation is that? So look at the Ramban. Ramban asked that question. We're talking about a place where the custom is not to build a wall. Why do I have to pay for a wall that you built? Since we're talking about a place where it's not the custom to build a wall, you can't force him to lisayeya imoy ligdor say to build a wall. Hagether arfitz on lamagag on lavachshav. Why should he have to pay just because he's happy about it? V'chibib nature kolam haloi. Just because one guy got up ubana mishaloi, he built on his own property. Hifsed zeh. I should lose because you built a wall. Certainly, according to those opinions, that even if the market built all four sides and the nikov didn't do anything, he has to pay for a wall. Why do I have to pay for anything? You did it, and there's no obligation to do it. It's not the custom in this place. So he says uididi lo kasha. Ramban says, for me, it's not a kashrus. Now, this will run against our grain because it's not the way we are raised in our, many of the dinei mamonis of the Torah are quite similar to the dinei mamonis that we're accustomed to, gneva, gzela, kinyonim, kefel and dal v'hei doesn't really fit into our system, but we're already accustomed to that. But then there's this other thing called Hayari to Tarste Chavero Vihishbiko. Sometimes there are certain halachas and dina mamas that are totally different in the Torah than it would be in our system, and therefore, it takes a little bit of, a minute to wrap our head around it. But there's a Gemara Boba Ben Tzio which tells us the following. Over here, Kafal from Adolf, maybe you came across it in the past. Hayari to Tarste Chavero, I don't know if you necessarily appreciated the implications of it though. Hayari to Tarste Chavero Vinata Shalai Bershus. A guy comes into my property and plants vegetation. I have to pay him for it. I didn't ask him to do it. He's trespassing, however you say it. And he plants in my property. I have to pay him back for what he did. The only shaila in the Gemara is, how much do I have to pay him? Amarav, Shaman Loi, the other al Tachtoino. I have to pay him, but I pay his expenses. Shmuel Amar, Aimdin Kama Adam Rotz, Elidim Asada Zula Noita. We have to pay him the value of what he did. So Lamasho, if he built a house on my property, I'd have to pay him for the value of the materials. According to Rav, according to Shmuel, I'd have to pay him for the value of the house. Those are two very different things, but Yadol Tachtayna, I pay him back his expenses. Shmuel holds, you pay him for the house. Amar Apop of Loi Pligi, there's no machlekes. Kam besada suyulita, kam besada shena suyulita. We're talking about one field, it makes sense to plant, meaning it's ready for planting. The other field is not ready for planting. So Lamasho, what does this mean? Al pi dinei atayra. This means if I own a cabbage farm, or in Yana Diyama, I own a pumpkin patch. And a guy comes to my pumpkin patch, and I don't know if pumpkins are planted annually or they grow from year to year. I have no idea. Huh? You have to replant every year. It's a crop. It's not an annual. And how you know that? Because
I was reading an article this week, and I could have got it wrong.
Okay. Let's assume Yitzi's right. Okay, fine. So I have to plant it every year. So instead of me before, and when are pumpkins planted?
You don't know. The guy Brandon says.
No. Let's say July. Lamazug in July. Okay. Lamazug in July. Let's say in July. So the guy, before he gets a chance to plant his pumpkin patch, Yanish comes along and plants his pumpkin patch for him. And then he sends him a bill. You have to pay the bill. The shaila is, does he have to pay him for the pumpkins or does he have to pay him for the seeds? But you have to pay him. No one asked you to do that. But it was a field that was meant for pumpkins. So then the Gemara says, well, then everyone agrees you have to pay for the value of the pumpkins, not only for the seeds. When does one hold you have to pay for the seeds if this field was never meant for pumpkins? Now, if I had grass there and I spent a lot of money on my landscaping and I had those fancy bushes that are cut like this and trees and zazali, and he rips it out and plants pumpkins, that's a mazik, right? But if I have an empty field I'm doing nothing with, and he decides to plant pumpkins, and now I own pumpkins, but I wasn't planning on planting pumpkins, I have to pay him for the hotzos. I have to pay him for the, you know, the cost, not the value. But if I was planning on planting pumpkins and he did it trespassing, I have to pay him. How much? However much the pumpkins cost. That's the halacha called Hayorid Atakstei Chavero Vishbichoi. Says the Ramban, the same is true here. Same is true here. A guy came and he planted, a guy built a wall around a field that needed a wall. Whoa! That's Hayorid Atakstei Chavero Vishbichoi. You're obligated to pay. Now, if it disrupts my landscaping and all that, okay, and then he's a mazik. But if not, then it helped me out. I got to pay him. The only shayla that exists is how much do I have to pay him? Why? That's the machlokes in Rav Huna, right? And Rav Huna and Chiya Bar Rav. One says you have to pay him for the value of the wall that he built. Why? Because that's what the field was meant for. Jerusalem stone fits in perfectly with his ambiance, you know, the Art Deco or whatever. The other one holds, no, the Mekana Bezal, because it wasn't made for this. Maybe it wasn't made for that fence. And the Homach Lakers here is what kind of field was the was this, what kind of fence was made for this field? Look over here, says the Ramban, that's how we learn Pshat. Hadam Rav Huna, look at the last line of the Ramban, three lines from the bottom of the Ramban. Hadam Rav Huna, Kofi Mashagoda, Loi Mashem Mishamla Hako, Afil Dmei Binyan, I have to pay him for the Binyan, but go Kishar Azal, not like the cheaper Home Depot version, Ala Gamale, you have to pay him everything. The Havale Yer, the Texte Chavero, Vinata, Shaloi Vershus. It's a field that was meant for this, so you have to pay him for the whole thing. The Chibarav and Tarti Poig. Chibarav argues on two things. Amar to make kind of bezoil, the cheaper version. So he argues that this field wasn't meant for Jerusalem. Stone was meant for a cheap Home Depot version. So that's the only shiloh. But everyone agrees that you do, you do have to pay him. Like the din of Hayor Tarkse Chavero Vishbicha. That's exactly what Tysus is bothered with too. Tysus is working with the same Yisrael. Look in Tysus the Ramaskal to make kind of Israel. Tysus asks, how could I only get away with paying him the cheaper Home Depot version? My snuff, Misada, She'ena, Suyalita. Why is this different than a field that is not meant to be planted? Meaning you have to pay the Hotzos. So Hotzos might be more than the cheap Home Depot version, right? The Shaila is, do I have to pay him for the value of his expenses or how much it's worth now? The pumpkin seeds or how much the pumpkins are worth? But no one holds the cheapest vegetable. So Tysus asks, how can I get away with paying him for the Home Depot version? Demei Hotzos, the Jerusalem stone, is even the cost is more than the cheap Home Depot version. The Shaila and the Gemara is only, do you have to pay him the cost or the value now? But no one says the cheapest version of that. So Tysus asks, why over here can you get away with paying him just the cheaper version? If I may read, the shiny hoch, the matzi, amaleli, the disagili, benetira barzuza. Meaning this field wasn't made for either one of them. So I don't have to pay him even for his hotzos. That you do have to pay him. Because everyone knows if he would have found the fence for so cheap, he would have paid for it. But what do you see from Tysus and the Ramban? That's the yisoid of our sugya. Why does he have to pay for the wall? Because of the halacha of hayorei l'tekstei chaver v'shbichai, a person comes down into my field and plants. Shaloi b'rshus, he builds, I have to pay him. The shaila is how much? So if it was a field that was meant for it, the whole cost. If it was a field that wasn't meant for it, the hotzos, the amount that it cost him. And if it wasn't even meant for that, I have to at least pay him the cheaper version of, you know, the item that he installed. But I do indeed have to pay him. Why? However, this runs counter. It seems strange to us. So we just have to explain why is there such a halacha. And indeed, we find machlokes rishonim about this. And there's an afkamina lemaisa. And this halacha comes up way more often than you might believe. And it does come up in certain settings where we are accustomed to it. Not in the trespassing, you know, because all of our gardens are so manicured and imperfect. But it does come up in other settings, as we'll see. So look over here in the Ritva. And Mukei Yosef have one explanation of this halacha, and we'll see the Rambam has a second. The most obvious, perhaps, is the Ritva and the Mukei Yosef. What they say is like this: V'kashule lemoire dafil besada shiyolita lamate yada yoyna b'shvach lito kishisle ya'ir. Why should you have to pay him like the vegetation that's, you know, in the city? Kevan d'shaloi midas b'ilim yard. But I didn't ask him to come into my field. What am I paying him for? So he says like this. Yeshloimar, Kaven the Sada Suyalita, the Yadua Bailam Vishasku, since this is a field that's made for this, and the Bailam saw it actually happening, and they didn't stop the guy from doing it. Now that's a pretty big Nakuda. If I see him doing it and I stop him, oh, so then I clearly am not happy about it. But I saw you doing it and I let you plant your pumpkins. It's as if I commanded you now to do it because I let you do it and I'm happy about it. The Mukayasa phrases it somewhat differently. It's as if you went down kind of with my command. So I think the first way of phrasing it, if I could just paraphrase what the Rishonim are saying, is that it's Ki'ilu, I told you to do it and you're doing what I asked you to do. So you're doing something for me. What do we call that when you pay someone for doing something for you? Schiras Poilim. You're like my pal. You're like my contractor now. My worker. Because I'm happy about what you did. So now I got to pay you. And if the field is made for it, I have to pay you, you know, the value of what you did. If the field wasn't made for it, I at least have to pay you back your expenses. So it's a din in Schiras Poilim. You did what I'm happy. You know, I'm happy about what you did. And therefore, I have to pay you for it. Because once I'm happy about it, it's as if I commanded you to do it. The Rambam seems to have a different explanation over here. Why? Because look at the Rambam. He introduces a huge nekuda over here in our sugya. Says the Rambam. He seems to just be quoting our halacha, but as you'll see, well, the underline will show it to you, but, you know, the Rambam seems to say something more. He says, Misha haylo chover ben chover schavero. A guy has a property in between the properties of his friend. V'amen chavero gada ruach revi v'shayna v'shni v'shlishes. Guy builds a fence around three sides. Ad shenim seis kor v'zum mishash v'chaysev gedura. There's a fence on three sides. Ein mechavino yitzalisein yitzalos klum. He's not obligated to pay him at all. Didn't do anything for him because only closed on three sides. It's still open on the fourth side. The fichach, read carefully, Chaver. Listen, if he builds it on the fourth fence, the fourth side, now he's closed in. Get there, you know, it's closed with the fence. He has to pay him four sides. Is to pay him the amount that he spent on the wall. Ad arba amos, until four, you know, 7 feet, 4 amos, because that's the size wall that people are happy about. If he built more, that's on him. Uvelvad shia mokoim hakoisel shoshneim. That's only if he built half on the property of the one who was enclosed. But if he built it all on his own property, then the Rambam holds his potter, the middle guy's potter. So understand the new chiddush here. They never says that in the Gemara. We talked about, right, a guy who has a property inside of four properties around. Guy built a wall in between to make the middle guy pay. The Rambam holds that's only if the wall was built on half on each one, on either side of the property line. Avam haya kaitzel shozeh shabana ubekalko bana. He built it on his own property, Yirali. Now the Rambam, whenever he says Yirali, that's a signal that the Rambam is saying something he never found in an earlier source. He's going out on a limb on his own. Yirali she'ein megalvin ha'ov el davar muat k'mo she'yir ha'dayanim she'ein yochul ishtamish b'ksolim. He can't use the wall. So he has to pay whatever the Dayanim says. But not for the whole wall. The only time he has to pay for the whole wall is if it's half on his property, half on the other property. It never says it in the Gemara. It says in the Gemara, if he gets a wall built around his property on all four sides, he has to pay. Rambam holds only if it's half on his and half on his. The Ravid disagrees. Says the Ravid, Zeh ha-mishpat mu'uko. This is wrong. This is corrupt. He says, that makes absolutely no sense. You know why? When I build, let's say the guy on the outer properties, right? We can imagine this. The guy with the property in the middle, the guy's four properties around him. And they build a wall between the two properties. So the Ravid says, if I build it half on your property, half on my property, I took inches from your property. And you know, I encroached in your property line. If I build it all on my property, I did you a favor. You know why? Because I built the retaining wall, I built the fence on my property instead of on yours. So I saved you space. So say to Ravid, what sense does this make? If I build it half on your property, half on my property, you have to pay half the value of the wall. You have to pay for it. If I build it on my property, I have to pay for everything. But I did you a favor by building it on my property. So the Ravid says it's counterintuitive. Zeh mishpat mu'uko, makes no sense. I gave you space. That now it should be cheaper for you? It should be more expensive for you if I build it on my whole property. So what's going on over here in the Rambam? So look, the Maga Mishnah just explains the Rambam, but that's Mechaber, she'ei Mechaber Yosef Echasi Yitzha. Ah, and now the Maga Mishnah gives us the answer. El Neshe Zeche Bechasi HaKoiso Lufisha Nimna Bim Koimoi. The Rambam holds, you know why you have to pay for the wall? Because when the guy builds it on your property, he gave you something new. And he's kilu selling it to you. Meaning when a guy builds a property on your fence, on your property, he owned the fence because he built it on your property, and now it's on your property. You took it from him, and now you have to pay him back for the wall that he just sold you, against your will or without your knowledge almost. So that's why the Rambam holds it has to be on the other guy's property. If it's not on the other guy's property, I did you a favor. I built a wall around your property, but you don't have to pay for that. That's not how Yoritach Sech Haver Vishbikoi. Yoritach Sech Haver Vishbikoi means I enhanced your property, and now that enhancement belongs to the enhancer, and now the person who owns the property acquired something new. He's got to pay for that. It's on your property. You took something that belongs to me. Now, that's counterintuitive to us from our Western view because we view it as you built it on my property. I, A, never asked you for it. And B, how does this make it yours? You planted pumpkins on my land. But in the view of the Rambam, that's how he understood the sugya of Hayor Tosech Vervish Bichoy. When he makes a shvach on my property, he owns the shvach, the trespasser. And now the landowner, since he's happy about it, is kibu buying the shvach from the trespasser, and he's got to pay him for it. Yeah.
What are the mechanisms in place for lying about whether you lent it or not? Is the key is the lie, is the lightning or not?
Yer Shamayim. Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty funky.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You want to lie your way through? You can. You want to steal? You can do that. Yeah. This is based, though, but people, most people, a lot of people want to do the right thing. So this is based. Salvechuk like to quote this Rambam and connect it with this other Rambam, with his Reb Chaim, who explains the following story. Look over here, the Rambam writes, Ilchus Chumas Perek Beis Halach Yud Alef. Chayin Hefker Potem Ena Chumah Maisis. There's no Chumah Maisis when it comes to Hefker. It's only produce that's owned by a Jew, right, planted in Eretz Yisrael. What if it's a stay Hefker that happens to grow wild, I don't know, berries or something? No Chumah Maisis. What if a person plants a stay hefker? So again, if it grows wildly, no truma and miser. It's only if it's owned. What if it's someone plants a vacant lot that's owned by no one? I don't know if there is such a thing anymore in the world. Property owned by no one, but okay. Huh? Yeah. It's owned by no one. Aba hasereya stay hefker, chai v'trumas and misers. He is chai v'trumas and misers. Why? Why isn't it payers hefker? Again, Rabbeisai, wild fruits grow over here, whatever this thing is. And Pater and Trumas and Meisers. I think Yeshiva owns this, but okay. Pater, let's say this is Hefker, this Amazon jungle we have growing over here. Yeah. Pater, if a guy plants here, we should actually have a garden. Someone should plant tomatoes. A guy plants things here, now Chayv and Trumas and Meisers. Why? He doesn't own the land. He doesn't own the land. Why is it Chayv and Trumas and Meisers? It's still Hefker. The answer is, it's not Hefker. You own the Shvach that you create. Says Reb Chaim, Hilchos Ma'al V'loi, the Perachav Alef, Harega Hedya, from this Rambam. Da'afo Gav to be Yoyda, Tetzdei Chaver, Harei HaShvach Shal Abaylim, even though it becomes the landowner's, you know, benefit, Mikol Mokom, Zerei Estei Hefker, Lo Yaminu that Shvach Yeh Hefker. We don't say the Shvach is Hefker. Although Kol Shal HaZereya, it belongs to the one who planted it. Dimloy Hayadino Rakaoris, if he would only be like a sharecropper, if he chelka rate tzarklios teva vechulin, muravin zeba zeba, karka to ko hashva hu shal hazireya. Everything belongs to the one who planted it. Salvechuk compared it to the halacha of known as uman kaina bishvach kli. If I give something to a uman to fix, Kalim, he's making a becher for me. So does that make it his becher that he then sells back to me? I gave him the silver and everything. Does that make it his becher because he made it into a becher and then he sells it back to me? Or do we say he's working for me? That's a big machlex, and the Gemara has many nafkaminas that are, you know, interesting, kind of obscure nafkaminas, but whether or not uman kaina b'shvach kli or ein uman kaina b'shvach kli or yesh uman kaina b'shvach kli. So Rav Salvechuk compared that halacha to this, that when you create shvach, you own the shvach. So a guy plants stay hefker, that becomes his fruits. He's obligated in Trumas HaMaestres. It's not fruits of Hefker. Even though it was planted in Stei Hefker, if you create Shvach, you own the Shvach. So too, back to this halach of Yerdot HaStei Chaver Vishbichoy, when a guy comes into my property and he makes a Shvach, he creates something, he owns it, and since it's in my property, and now I'm going to take ownership of it, I can even have to pay him for that which he created. But then it's only if it's in my property. If it's not in my property, I don't have to pay him for it because I'm not taking ownership of something that belonged to him because he created this shvach, he created this benefit, he planted tomatoes or pumpkins or whatever he did. I have to, now it's in my field, I'm going to take ownership, I have to pay him for it, but that's only if it's in my field. And that's why the Rambam holds the only time you have to pay him for the wall is if it's half in your field, half in his field. Okay, so Rabbi said, this is clear. The yisoid of our sugya that the inner guy is to pay for a wall he did not build is based on hayoyer tostech chaver v'shbichoi, he's obligated to pay. The question is, how does that work? And that's the nafkamina is, where is the wall positioned? Is that because when somebody does something on my field and I'm happy about it, it's kilu I told them to do it, like skiris poilim, and therefore it doesn't matter where the wall is placed. That's the Ravid and the Ramban and all that. Or, you know, the Muki Yosef and the Rizba. Or is it like the Rambam? That it's based on yoyer tostech chaver v'shbichoi, but what it means is, when you build something on my property, and you own the shvach, I'm kilu buying the shvach from you, and I have to pay you back for that which you benefited me. But therefore, it's only, halach only applies if the wall is half on my field, half on your field. And that's how the Reb Naftali Trupp explains this Rambam in the Ravid. Have a look over here. This Reb Naftali Trupp, not here in Baba Basar, I believe, in Baba Kama, where the sugya appears as well. We talked about why it's in Baba Kama too. But he says, "Venir levar bezedim yikay Yosef sham kosev atam de besada usuyu asui lita mekuya ba asada l'shagim al yared humi shum da habay kilu yared midaito came in asada sui lita." It's as if I told you to do it. Roitzel loymar da habay kilu ba la bias oimer loylin toyev who hoytzi yotzas al pip. As if I told you to do it, and you're doing exactly what I told you. Humi shumachim mischay betashum and ofiza yeshu yashiv gam das arayvid. That's what the arayvid holds against the Rambam. Even if he didn't build on my rishus, it's as if you did exactly what I told you. It doesn't matter where the wall is. But that's a Rambam. The Rambam has a whole different understanding of a yoyer tostech chaver. I bought the shvach that you created, and therefore I have to pay you back for that shvach. What is the shvach? The pumpkin patch or the wall? I have to pay you back for that wall. Rav Shechter has in his sefer Eretz Hatzvi, excuse me, he thinks that's a machlokes between Rabbeinu Tam and the Riva in Ksubas. Again, just strange halacha that's foreign to us a little bit. What if I pay a debt for you? I pay a debt on your behalf. Do you have to pay me back for it? No, no, not a loan. You have outstanding debts. I pay it. Okay, I'm just asking for exactly what I paid you. Exactly what I paid. Do you have to pay me back? I see this guy's in need. Nice chesed. Pay you. I pay off your debts. Now I come to you to collect. I say, you know what? The bank was all over you. Not giving you time. I'll give you time. You know, whatever. So I pay off your debts. The guy says, thank you for paying off my debts. Shalom aleichem. I'll see you later. I never asked you to do that for me. Zayge benched. Or does he have to pay him a ikra din? So that's it seems to be in the Gemara and Ksubas that you don't have to pay back. Guy pays off my debts, scot-free. Because the Gemara says, Hamudar Hanah Mechavero. Guy says, I'm not going to get Hanah from my friend. He can still pay off my debts. How can I get Hanah from him if he's paying off my debt? Aren't I getting Hanah from him? So Rashi explains, no, because you never had to pay him back. Whatever. Not after am I going to pay him back? The question is, what kind of debts are we talking about? And why don't you have to pay him back? So look at Tosis there. Tosis says, a guy paid off my debts. Why is it I don't have to pay him back? The Gemara says, you don't have to pay him back. It's not really a Gnah Hanah almost. Tosis says, why not? Why is that different than a Yorah Tosek Chaver v'Hishbikoi? So Lekha Lekshim, I hold the Kaim on a Yorah Tosek Chaver v'Not Hashkoi B'Shus, the Shaman Loi Ka'oris, Lubayna Kuvasa Shchaver, the Noisim Lamashanene. Normally, a guy does me a favor, he builds on my property, I have to pay him. The Hosam HaShvach Be'en, because there he created Shvach. So I have to buy the shvach from him. Bedinu sheyito. Aval haka loy hishbiach loy shum shvach nechosim. He didn't do anything for me that I'm buying from him. El shehitzi loy migavias balcheva veloy midi yehevle. So according to Tosfos, this is like the Rambam. What is hayyara tchasek chaver v'shbiko all about? You benefited my property. You enhanced my property. You own that enhancement. Now it's on my property. I got to pay you for it. I didn't want to pay you for it, but I got to pay you for it now because you did it. And I'm not happy about it in the end. Could lie and say I'm not happy, but if I am, I have to pay you for it. Because you created an enhancement, and I have to pay for that enhancement. But paying off loans, there is no enhancement to speak of. You did me a taiva. Shkoyach. No enhancement, though, necessary to be paid. That's how Tosis, that's like the Rambam. But look in Tosis, quotes from Rabbeinu Tam in the Riva, that no, you have to pay back. Rabbeinu Tam first, the Ari Davgum is on his Ishtoi. It's only talking about, you know, supporting his wife, that kind of lien or obligation. He says it wasn't clear the guy was ever going to have to pay off his wife. Whatever, it could have been other ways. He could have gotten out of paying. Maybe she would live, you know, a lower lifestyle, or maybe some other way. If she can't find money, she's going to live a less lifestyle. Even though Bezin already passed, you have to pay. There were ways he could have gotten out of it. But if it would be a chayv that there's no way of getting out of course you have to pay him back. He did you a taiva. How do you not have to pay him back? He paid off your debts. So Tosfos, the other Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, the Riva goes back, you know, and says, no, this is true by all chayvis. But the question is, what kind of chayvis is this talking about? Is it talking about all chayvis and you don't have to pay him back? Because the only time you have to pay back someone who does you a favor is if they created some enhancement that I'm buying from you. Or, now that whole gemara about not paying him back if he pays off your debts is only about a debt that was mesupak if you were ever going to have to pay in the first place. And then I could say, I'm not paying you back. I'm not sure I ever would have had to pay that. It's nice if you to support my wife, but I'm not sure I ever would have had to pay it off. But if it would be a loan that you would absolutely have had to pay off, you do have to pay back this good Samaritan who paid your loans off. You know why? Hayoy the tosdech haver v'shbichay applies even if there is no enhancement. There's nothing here you're buying from him because he did you a favor. That was a financial favor. That's kilo I told him to do it. So now I got to pay him for it. Have you understand? Those are the two ways of viewing hayoy the tosdech haver v'shbichay. The nafkamina will be, what if there's nothing that he created? If I'm obligated to pay him for planting the pumpkin patch or building the wall, it's because since I'm happy about it, it's if I told you to do it, well, then I don't need an enhancement that exists that I'm buying from you that I have to pay you for. Right? It could even be if I told you to pay off my loans and I'm happy about it, it's as if I told you to do it. Even if I didn't tell you to do it, but you did it on my behalf, I'm obligated to pay you for paying off my loans. I have to pay you back. But if it's about creating an enhancement that I have to buy back from you, like the Rambam said, it has to only be built on my property. Oh, then if you pay off any loan of this guy, there's no shvach bien. There's nothing that he created that I'm buying from him. Chavi, you hear the two perspectives? Yeah. What if I do? You know what? Let's move on to the next example and you'll see what I'm talking about. No. I'm not trying to avoid it. It's hard to visualize paying off debts. A guy does me a favor. What favor does he do? He brings me a deal. I did not know this. I'm not in deal making. I'm in click Kodesh. I did not know this. I thought if a guy brings you a deal, that's like not being a nice guy. There was a guy who passed away in the shul or whatever, and had a lot of properties, and someone else from the shul wanted to buy his properties. So I said to the guy, let me talk to the family. Maybe they're interested in selling. So he said, okay, I'll give you a cut. I said, well, cut? I'm not looking for a cut. I don't do cuts. Yeah. Shalchanus. And actually, we call it Shalchanus. Yeah, Shalchanus. It's Shalchanus. I did not know that there was such an industry as Shalchanus. I didn't know it, yeah. About deal making, where you get a percentage, which I now learned is somewhere between 1% and 5%. Fine, usually 2%. I'm a bucky now in Shalchanus, but I didn't know it at the time. If you make deals, just being a deal broker, I didn't even know this, mortgages, and then I got involved. We bring a deal to the bank. The bank pays a finder's fee to the mortgage if you bring them. This is a finder's fee. It's a whole industry. There are people that this is what they do for a living. They bring deals to people. But you brought me a deal. I never asked you to bring me a deal. We didn't talk about terms, so I always recommend, I said it here, always say the terms. Otherwise, all you end up with is machlekes. So if you're going to bring your friend the deal and you expect to be paid, say you expect to be paid. But what is that law? If you didn't say you expect to be paid, you did me a financial favor. But you didn't create anything. But you did something that benefits me. Is that included in Hayorda Tachzeh Chaver Vishbichoy? According to the Rambam, no, it's not. Because Hayorda Tachzeh Chaver Vishbichoy means you created Shvach Bien, as Tosfos said in Ksubis. So if you pay off my loans, if you bring me a deal, I don't have to pay you for that. That's not Hayorda Tachzeh Chaver Vishbichoy. Hayorda Tachzeh Chaver Vishbichoy is Uman Kodeh Bishvach Kli. You created an enhancement. You own that enhancement. Now I'm buying you that enhancement from you. But according to Mukhe Yosef, according to the Ritva, according to the Ravid, or according even to, Rabbeinu Tam over here in Ksubas, if you pay off my debt, which was a debt I certainly would have to pay, which is a financial favor, so you did me a financial favor, now, which I'm clearly happy about, I have to pay you for that shadchanus, because you did me a favor that I'm happy about, even though there is no shvach b'en. That's the difference. You understand now the difference?
According to the latter group of sources you listed, what about the downside? What if he brought me a deal and it completely failed and I lost half my business? Would you then be mechuyev to do? Wouldn't you be mechuyev to take care of me? You wouldn't. So you're taking no risk. So where does that? It's much different than when you built up. There's a pumpkin in my hand.
Let's say a guy is a Yoritos de Chavero, and he means to plant pumpkins. And the crop, let's go back to the original source, and the crop doesn't take. So if he ruined my grass in the process, I think he's a mazik, for sure. Here, he brought you something. He's saying, is there another side of shadchanus if the marriage doesn't work out that you can sue the shadchan? That turns shadchanus on his head. I have to tell Rebbe Sobolovsky, take an insurance policy now. Yeah.
You called me about going because this beer died. You want me to go buy his real estate? And go buy the real estate. You know the walls are rotting, and now I'm dead because I'm all over.
Well, that's your failure to do due diligence.
Right. Okay, she's saying it's all on me, not you. Bring
that's dumb and bereshit.
So there's no downside to your finder's fee.
Well, that's why people don't like paying finder's fees because they say to the finder, you have no risk. Why should you get a finder's fee?
These later sources.
And the answer is that's why they get 1-2%, not
10%, 50.
So yeah.
The sources that we mentioned now don't feel that way.
I mean, let's say you bring a loan to a bank and the guy defaults. The bank still usually pays, I think. They still pay a finder's fee for bringing them the loan in the first place, right?
Ultimately, they're still going
to
get
paid. I don't care about the bank. Do we care about downside?
I don't think so, no, because that's your failure to do due diligence. Yeah. That's on you. Yeah. You didn't kick the tires. Okay, that's on you. So Rabbi said, this halach of Yoritz Tzeh Chaver Vishbiko, it sounds to us to be so foreign, a guy planting pumpkins in my field and paying off my loans or building walls. But in fact, this halacha comes up all the time. And the Ramah Paskin's not like the Rambam, that it's not about creating shvach, it's about doing me a financial favor. Says the Ramah, Chayshim Mishpat, halacha psuka, Simen Reish Shamadal, Sivdal, V'chein Ko Adam Sha'isa, Im Chavero Pu'ula Itaiva. A guy does me a taiva pu'ula, he brings me a deal, or as we'll see, a shidduch. I thought you were just doing me a favor. What's the bill about? Since I didn't tell you to do it, you have to pay him. How much? Whatever is the going rate. Says the Shulchan Aruch, this is not courtesy. This is not like a skula. This is a meikra din. Hashadchan havi kmo sarsur. Sarsur is a financial shadchan. Shadchan refers to matchmaking. V'mashadchan roitzes yishamuloi miyad schar shadchanus. So too, there is a halacha psuka to pay schar shadchanus. Now, it says in Pesachei Tshuva, if you want to do it for free, that's nice. You're a bechina of Eliezer Eved Avram. It's nice. It's a great thing. Menyana diyayma in the parashas of Shavua. You're a tzaddik yisayt olam. But you have the right to do it. You know, to request what is the going rate for shadchanus, and I assure you there is a going rate for shadchanus in every community, from the one end of the spectrum to the other at this point. Even though people do it casually, and they do it as a chesed, there are many people who do it professionally, and there is a going rate. And if a person, you know, says, you have no right to assume someone is doing it for free. If they want to do it for free, that's up to them. But you have no right to assume that is the case. Many shadchanim in our community will turn down and say, hey, give me a nice gift. That's okay, but I think things are changing now. Yeah,
apparently the going rate is $3,000.
$3,000in Lakewood, it's way more.
Oh no, I'm saying an hour circle.
An hour in Lakewood, it's way more, like zeros more. Yeah,
oh,
right. But in our circles, it seems to be right. Right. Lamaisa is there is a going rate. So if I buy them, so let's say over here, so if the guy says, you know, I didn't ask you for the shidduch. I didn't call you. You called me. And when does it get paid? So you'll tell me, this is halachas. Rabbi said, this is halachas. So tali b'minig ha-medina. It depends on the minig ha-medina. The Ramah actually says, v'makom she'en ein minig ha-dinim ha-bailim. Many times people don't want to pay till the wedding is actually closed, not when the shidduch is made. And it's only after the wedding. I think that's the common custom today. The Ramah discusses two minhagim. Do you pay when the shidduch is closed? Do you pay when the wedding happens? But everyone agrees if the shidduch falls apart, even after the engagement happens, there is no shadchanis that is to be paid. Only if they made up, you know, they'd have to pay shadchanis anyway. There's no obligation to pay. This is based on the Shalos Teshuvos HaRosh. The Rosh says, nowadays, by the way, this is changing. Unfortunate, I think this is unfortunate. But people are giving shadchanis for suggesting a shidduch where they actually go out. I assure you that's the case in my circles. But now it's a custom. But at some certain point, just like the watch and the tawis and the engagement bracelet, all of these things become assumed. I'm sure someone has sued over an engagement bracelet before. So someone, you know, and a diamond ring and whatever. This is going to become so customary that it's just going to become assumed at this point. I have no idea. We didn't do an engagement bracelet. I'm so old. We didn't even have it. But it was right around my time it started. But Lamaisa, people now give gifts if you get a shidduch to go out. They go out, they send a gift to the person who set up the shidduch, even if it goes nowhere at one day.
Like a specific age range? Or across the spectrum?
I think you do that just to be smart, because you want them in the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's custom. It's a nice thing to do.
It's all about
right, but 1 minute is a chesed, then the next minute's an assumption, and now you have people suing. Why don't you send me flowers for Shabbos? I'm joking, but I'm just saying, if that's how things, that's how minhagim become. Yeah. It's very nice. It's very nice. But 1 minute, very nice. Next minute becomes an obligation. Now the family that can't afford it is now up the creek. Yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem. Anyway, but the rush writes, if a person just works on the shidduch, there's no tain of shadchanis. I sat for a day, I think I told the chavra, I sat for a day more than once with Rav Asher, who's now sitting shiva, but Rav Asher Weiss is based in. So I sat, I mentioned this before, I sat there, I went with a group of Rabbanim a few years ago. We went before Corona, the year before, it was great. That was one of the best times. So I'm with a group of young Rabbanim. It was fantastic. And we sat, Rav Asher, Ramamish was like our tour guide, our tour leader. And we Mamish Mishamish Rav Asher for like a week. It was fantastic. And we visited different Gedolim, not for brachas, all learning and talking and learning and aloha and fantastic. It was really fantastic. So we spent a day doing shimush by Rav Asher and his Beis Din. And the machlekes that came in was about shadchanis. Woo! 15,000, it was five figures fighting about. Two shadchanim were fighting over a French guy. Yeah. No, dollars. No, it was a crazy shidduch. They didn't speak the same language. It was a Balas Tshuva from America with a French guy who looked like a Haredi guy, and neither one spoke French or English.
They got married,
and there were a number of shadchanim involved in it, arguing back and forth with documentation and back. There were more than, you know, you can imagine, many different people involved. Huh? No, they were 50, 40s and 50s. He was a very wealthy man. And therefore, people assumed, if you know, it was
They got divorced, though.
No, they were married. The question was, it was a machlekes amongst the shadchanim.
Who actually did it?
Yeah. So we'll get involved. So the Rush says over here, the point is, I'm telling you, this is big bucks. The Rush says over here, and Rav Asher got mamish into it. The Rush says over here, if a person works on a shidduch but it doesn't go anywhere, a guy works on a shidduch and it doesn't go anywhere. I work on a deal and the deal falls apart. Even if you spend years on the deal, and there are people who do this. And then all of a sudden, Limkar, he finally got Levi to agree to buy. Then all of a sudden, Reuven backs out and doesn't want to sell. Levi, The deal didn't work out. The guy sold the property to somebody else. I didn't sell it to the person you brought me. Even if you worked very hard on it, you might have even convinced me to sell. I wasn't planning on selling. You told me, ooh, you could get a lot for that. And you brought me a buyer. But I didn't go with your buyer. I took your advice and went with a different buyer. There's no shadchanis there. Even though you worked very hard on it. Meaning I might have exposed someone to a certain kind of girl with a or a certain kind of boy. They weren't thinking that direction. They started thinking that direction now. This shidduch that I brought them didn't work out. But some other shidduch in that general category, you know, general community did work. There's no shadchanis. So if you work on a shidduch, however hard you do, that's tzidkus, you get brownie points in shamayim, but you do not get shadchanis. Shadchanis is only if you seal the deal. But then the Rosh has a fantastic case. And Rav Yosi said, this is a little bit of what they were arguing about. But Rav Yosi will have to get involved. The Ramah Paskins is a famous truth from Neder Yehuda and the Aruch HaShulchan. What if one person works on a Shidduch? Doesn't work. I work on a deal. Then, after I'm no longer involved, they get back together and they end up getting married. The two parties go through with the deal. Do I get a taina of Shachanis at this point? Or not? That's a shah that's dealt with by the Rush, the Yehuda, the Aruch HaShulchan, to see that. And then we have to get involved with why the first three walls not, and then we have to go on. Fantastic little story about here, about Runya and Ravina. Fantastic. All right, Chava.